Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Are you facing circumstances and questions that are simply overwhelming to your very soul? Well, friend, when you turn your eyes from those circumstances to Jesus Christ, the perspective changes dramatically. Stay with us next on Daily in the Word as we consider Christ with Pastor Paul Chappell. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. I don't know how this broadcast comes to you in terms of what circumstances or what questions you may be facing. Perhaps you're facing despair or sorrow. Perhaps you're facing tragedy or overwhelming situations. Perhaps you're looking at a wall of questions and you don't know how you're going to get through or how will you make it another day. Well, friend, today we want you to consider Jesus Christ, because He is not only the answer to your soul's deepest questions, He is the only one who will sustain you and strengthen you by His grace through whatever you're facing today. And so, in the next few moments and for the next few broadcasts, we will consider Christ. Be sure to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You'll find a wealth of resources at our website that will encourage you in your spiritual growth and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today, we're turning to John chapter 3, and we're going to consider his new birth. Here's Paul Chappell.
And so Jesus says to him, "You must be born again." This term, born again, speaks of being begotten from above, from a higher place, begotten by the Spirit of God, to be renewed inwardly. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says it this way, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So there are those who are born of the will of God, and they are then a part of the family of God by way of this new birth Jesus Christ is speaking about. Now, why did Jesus say to him, "You must be born again"? Why was that necessary, especially for a man who had religion? I want to give you two quick reasons. Notice, first of all, we must be born again because of our sin nature. All of us are born into this world with a nature that is against God. We are born with a sin nature. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and so death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Going back to the Garden of Eden, we see Adam and Eve, and we're mindful of the fact that they willfully disobeyed God. And because of that, the Bible says sin came into the world. The very first murder recorded in human history was recorded by the son of Adam and Eve against another son of Adam and Eve when Cain killed Abel. Sin had truly entered into the world. And the Bible says in 1 John 1:8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." And so all of us, if we're honest this morning, would agree with Romans chapter 3, where the scriptures say that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And though Nicodemus was religious, Jesus Christ knew that he still had a sin nature and needed to be redeemed or reborn from the inside out. Now, all of us at times will feel like we're doing better and we're not having maybe a sinful lifestyle. Then there are times when we're reminded of our own weaknesses and of our own flesh. I heard of a lady who was summoned to jury duty, and she said to the judge, she said, "Your Honor, I cannot serve in jury duty because I do not believe in capital punishment." Well, the judge looked at the lady and he said, "Ma'am, this isn't a capital charge, so it doesn't matter. In fact, this is the case of a husband who emptied his family's savings account of $14,000. He left his wife. He ran off to Las Vegas for a 3-day weekend with his girlfriend in Atlantic City. And the woman thought about that for a moment. She said, all right, I'll serve. And I could be wrong about capital punishment. There are just certain little things that come into our lives sometimes where we're angry or where we're thinking thoughts we should not think. And we're mindful of the fact that there is certainly an old nature, a sinful nature that all of us were born with. And the only victory over that is what is called the new birth. And so Jesus said, you must be born again because of the sin nature that Nicodemus had. But secondly, he said it because of God's renewing power. You see, Jesus knew that God could do in his heart what no religion could ever do or accomplish. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. You see, the Bible says, though we were dead in our sins, yet when we receive Christ, we are quickened or we are made alive. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, God is in the renewing business. He's in the rebirthing business. He's in the business of giving new life to those who come to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he renews us by grace. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God gifts us and loves us, and he allows us by his grace to be saved. It's not something I deserve. It's not something that I can say I have earned. It's something that he has freely given. The Bible says in Titus 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us, by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. How many of you are well aware that you would not be saved apart from the mercy and the grace of God? It's by his grace that we are saved. But he also indwells us by his power. It's by his grace that he saves us, but he indwells us by his Spirit. Notice this, if you would, very simply in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. When someone is born again, the Spirit of the living God takes up residence in their life and gives to them a new nature, gives to them the abiding presence of Almighty God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so everyone who has accepted Christ as their Savior then possesses the Holy Spirit of God in their life. And this is why Jesus said, you must be born again. You look good on the outside, Nicodemus, but you need me to overhaul the inside. You need me to change you from the inside out. We see Nicodemus making his subtle approach. We hear Jesus giving a surprise announcement. You must be born again. But I want you to notice finally with me this morning a simple answer. A simple answer. Now, you know, when we are confronted with scriptural truth, a lot of times we try to complicate the answer. We can get caught up in the paralysis of analysis, analyzing all the religions of the world and all the what-ifs. And a lot of times people do get stopped right there when it comes to this matter of accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. And by the way, that's just fine with Satan because he doesn't want anybody to make a decision for Jesus Christ. He's more than happy if you get caught up in your comparative religious process and if you get caught up in some kind of a philosophy other than the truth of Jesus Christ. He wants us to do that. But Jesus is not willing that any would perish. And in John 14 and verse 6, the Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, in reality, there are only two responses to the clear teaching and to the clear call of Jesus Christ. There is unbelief and there is belief. There is no faith and there is faith. Let's think about it for a moment. First of all, the answer of unbelief. Many millions of people have chosen to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. The answer of unbelief may be expressed in different ways. Some people, for example, choose atheism and they'll say, there is no God. Some have chosen polytheism. They say, there are many, many gods. Others have chosen pluralism and they say, all of the gods are about the same. Yet all of these philosophies have one commonality, and that is that they reject the claim of Jesus Christ when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, the answer of unbelief is the answer that is damning the souls of men and women this very moment to a Christless hell. The Bible says in John 3 and verse 18, these words, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is what? Condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Notice John chapter 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Folks, I don't know how much clearer the Bible can make this matter of salvation. He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son of God will not see everlasting life. There are those who have chosen not to believe. Many of those who have chosen not to put their trust in Christ speak of tolerance. They speak of religious inclusion. They have a lot of different buzzwords. But at the end of the day, they have chosen to believe that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, and they will not put their faith in Him alone as their Savior. The answer of unbelief is a sad answer indeed. But let's get a little more positive as we close. Notice the answer of belief. There is the answer of belief. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to John chapter 3 and verse 14, and let's look at some of the greatest verses in all of the Word of God. John 3, 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now notice the key word in verse number 16. I believe the key word, whosoever believeth. This is the answer of belief. And as we look at verse 16, we notice, first of all, Christ's love was expressed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And my friend, no matter what your question or need this morning, the cross of Jesus Christ is God's last argument. It is an argument of love. It is a proven fact that the nails of the cross could not hold Jesus Christ there. It was love that held Jesus there. He loved you, and he gave his life on the cross for you. He shed his blood to pay the price for your sin and mine. One day, author Ken Blanchard was talking to business expert Peter Drucker, and he asked Mr. Drucker the question. He said, Peter, why are you a Christian? And Peter Drucker said, it is very simple, because Jesus paid it all. Think about that. Jesus paid it all. When Jesus shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, he paid for all of our sin. He paid the price that was necessary for our redemption. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Thank God for the men and women who lay their lives on the line every day in public service, in public safety positions, the deputy sheriffs, the Los Angeles police officers, on and on the list could go. But I want to remind you that over 2,000 years ago, the perfectly sinless Son of God laid himself down voluntarily and vicariously on an old rugged cross, and the nails were through his hands and through his feet, and the crown of thorns upon his head. And when that royal red crimson blood came flowing down, it was the blood that paid for your forgiveness and mine. Jesus Christ expressed his love to us on the cross that day. And that love is still speaking this morning. From thousands of pulpits, it is being preached. And throughout the world, while there are many in unbelief, thank God, there are those still turning their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ today and saying, yes, I believe, I believe. Christ's love was expressed. Let me say this morning. Our faith must be expressed. Our faith must be expressed. Notice in verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, notice, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The word belief means to be persuaded of, to have full confidence in, to place full trust in. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 explains it this way, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God says, I want you to believe in your heart. And when someone believes in their heart that Jesus Christ died for their sin, I believe, according to the scripture, there will be a confession made with their mouth. They will not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they will confess with their mouth that which they believe in their heart. Now, let me tell you something. We have no interest here at Lancaster Baptist in someone saying something with their mouth that they don't believe in their heart. But when you believe Jesus Christ died for your sin and you've trusted Him as your Savior, all the response is to confess that with your mouth and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. For years, Terry and I prayed for her family to be saved. And I had the privilege many years ago of leading her father to Christ. And then we prayed for other of her siblings. And it seems like the hardest one for many years was Terry's sister, Darlene. She's a building inspector for the city of San Jose, and if you've ever been involved in anything for buildings or building inspectors, if you could envision kind of a tough person, you've got her right in the radar. I mean, she's a tough inspector, and she was always difficult to speak to about the gospel. We'd have Christmas or family gatherings, and we would get together, and we'd talk to Darlene about the gospel. And I would share with her what I have shared with you, that all are sinners, and that Jesus Christ died for our sin, and that we must be born again by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. And for years, she would look at us and say, that's for you, it's not for me. Sometimes with colorful language, she'd say, stop what you're saying, I don't want to hear this anymore. And yet my wife is full of mercy and compassion and would pray and pray for her sister. And a few years ago, we heard the news that she was involved in a terrible car accident on Interstate 17 from San Jose to Santa Cruz, where she lives. And she had been involved in an accident. In fact, no one knew about it for a few days. Her car had hit a tree. She had been projected out of the car, and the car burned to such a point that they could not identify even the license plates. No one knew who the car belonged to. All of her ID was burnt up. For 3 days, she lay in intensive care between death and life, and no one knew who she was. Finally, as friends began to look, they found her in the hospital and contacted the family. By the grace of God, she was able to begin breathing on her own. And Terry and I, about a week or so after the accident, made our way up to Santa Cruz to visit her there in the hospital. And as we walked into the room, her head, I can still see it now, was surrounded with the halo-shaped metal object to keep her head straight because of her broken neck. Her teeth had been knocked out of her mouth. She had broken many, many bones in her body. Really, about all she could move was her eyes. So we walked in, her eyes looked over towards us, and very gently we walked in. We'd already determined that we weren't going to try to force a lot of religious talk. We wanted mainly just to let her know we loved her and maybe share a quick verse or two. But when she saw us coming in, she had tears begin to flow from her eyes, and she looked at us and said, thank you for coming. And as we talked for just a moment, I felt the Spirit of God putting on my heart to ask her if she was ready to receive Christ. And I said, Darlene, I said, you've had some time to think about it. Are you ready to receive Christ as your Savior? She said, yes, I am. I'm ready right now. And right at that very moment in that hospital bed, Darlene prayed and accepted Christ as her Savior. She was born again that day. Oh, it took a difficulty in her life to bring her to that point. But I thank God that she has a new nature in Jesus Christ today. She has been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, 25 years after the story of Nicodemus, there was a man by the name of the Apostle Paul who was preaching and starting churches and doing great missionary work. The Bible tells us the Apostle Paul went to a city by the name of Philippi, and he began to preach the gospel, and people began to trust Christ as their Savior. Great things were happening. The only problem was there were some people who didn't really want to hear all of that message, and so because of their unbelief, the Apostle Paul was placed into prison. He was there with the prison guard, and the Bible tells us that as he was there with a man named Silas, that Paul and Silas began to sing in the prison. I don't know about you. I don't know if I'd be singing in the prison. That would take an extra work of the grace of God in my heart. But that shows you how spiritual Paul was. I mean, he was singing, and I don't know what they were singing. Maybe they were singing Amazing Grace, or maybe they were singing some other songs. Probably not that one, since it wasn't written until the 1700s. But you know what I mean. They were singing to the Lord, maybe the Psalms. The Bible says that at midnight, while they were praying, something amazing happened. An earthquake shook that prison. And all of a sudden, the fetters that bound the apostle fell off. And now Paul and Silas were able to stand up, and they were now able to walk out to their freedom because God had loosened their bonds by way of a miracle. But the prison guard came to Paul. And in those days, if prisoners were to escape, the Roman authorities would often take the life of the prison guard. And no doubt the prison guard had heard Paul preach and heard Paul sing and knew that there were some religious fanatics in the prison house. And as the apostle Paul had been faithful to the Lord, the Bible records in Acts chapter 16 some amazing words from a lawman to a gospel preacher. Notice them. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs," and what does the next part say? "What must I do?" Say it with me. "What must I do to be saved?" Now someone might say, well, he must have wanted to have been saved from the Roman government or from the earthquake, but that's not what he was asking. Notice the answer the Apostle Paul gave. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Oh, you see, a simple answer. Unbelief or belief? Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The question this morning is not, are you religious? The question this morning is, are you ready for eternity? A religious man came to Jesus, and the first thing he said was, if you want to see the kingdom of God, then you must be born again. And this morning, if you're in this room and you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, the question is, are you ready to turn from your pride like Nicodemus did? And are you ready to come sincerely? Are you ready to come to the Lord Jesus and find what is necessary for eternal life? Because the Bible is very clear that it can be found in the person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've never done that, my friend, you can do that in just a moment. If you're here this morning, you say, well, I'm glad I have done that. And I want to tell you, friend, there's a whole world that needs to hear what we have learned this morning. There's a world of coworkers and friends and loved ones who need to know that they must be born again. They need to know that religion is one thing, but salvation is the greatest thing. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this time this morning to come into this house and to open the Word of God and to hear the gospel. And Lord, we're reminded from Nicodemus' own testimony that it's possible to have religion but not have salvation. And I just pray this morning that you would help us as a church, that we would be a church that would always proclaim the love of Christ and the gift of eternal salvation. And Lord, I pray that throughout this day that your Spirit would draw men and women unto yourself, and that there would be men and women and boys and girls who are saved. And Father, we pray that you would help us to apply these truths to our own hearts and lives, that we might be found faithful, that we might be a people who are faithful to proclaim the good news.
Friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're currently in a series entitled Consider Christ. Friend, we would invite you to consider, is Jesus Christ in your life as your Savior? If you have heard today's message and you would like to make Jesus Christ your personal Savior, to place your faith in Him, I hope you will bow your head and heart wherever you may be in the privacy of this moment and place your faith in Jesus Christ. Invite Him into your life to save you from your sin, trust Him as your Savior, and claim His gift of eternal life. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We would love to hear from you if you have made that decision as a result of Daily in the Word. We'd love to get back in touch with you and help you grow in God's grace and in that relationship. You can contact us when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find links to the current radio series as well as the podcast. You can perhaps refer a friend or subscribe to Daily in the Word through your phone or device and take it with you. Also, you'll find links to many other resources that will help you with your spiritual growth, including a Daily in the Word subscription email that will come to your email inbox every single day with an encouragement from Pastor Chapel as well as a daily scripture reading. You'll also find links to Dr. Chapel's blog at paulchapel.com. And don't forget, we're going to Alaska and you're invited. The Alaska Cruise with Dr. Paul Chapel is August 9th through 16th, 2014. 1 week of the most beautiful environment you've ever spent time in, along with some of the most wonderful people you could meet, Christian friends from all over the country, joining us August 9th through 16th with Dr. Chapel, some great teaching and preaching throughout the week, and Christian Fellowship 2014, August 9th through 16th. You can find out more information at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.